Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you all had a great holiday weekend. I know I did. Tons of fun here in New York City. Hope you guys were staying safe, having a great time, and having a ball celebrating America's birthday. I know I did. I watched a lot of soccer. That's basically what I was doing. Your mileage may vary, but this World Cup has been amazing. Big match tonight. Going to try not to talk about it too much here today. I know people tune in for the Packers stuff, but man, very excited for England's victory last night and then the USA taking on Belgium in a cloud of controversy. Man, I hope the US balls out. In the meantime, though, tons of stuff to talk about when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. I kid. It's the dead period, and that's the way we like it. The less news, the better. Got through the 4th of July weekend without anything happening. That's always good. Now we have a couple weeks, well, about 3 weeks left till we kick off training camp. And in the meantime, you know, I sit here and I'm hanging out. I'm reading some of my Packers books. I'm going through some Cheesehead TV content plans for the season. And you know, I just started like thinking about this team and heading into 2026 and where the franchise is, where this program, Matt LaFleur's program, is at. And you know, I'm firing up YouTube, and the first thing I see, you know, the algorithm, it likes to spit things to you that will get you going, will get you revved up, engaged, enraged sometimes. And the very first thing I saw was a thumbnail with Matt LaFleur's face that said, "Matt LaFleur on the hot seat." And I was like, wait, this is clearly old kind of content that it's shooting me here. And no, this was like, I believe from a couple days ago. Man, the guy just signed a contract extension. Can we just get on board with whatever iteration of Matt LaFleur's time in Green Bay this is going to be? Call it phase three, I guess. Just can we let phase three play out a little bit before we start talking about Matt LaFleur back on the hot seat? I get the end of the playoff game and got people's feathers all ruffled, but the man did just sign a contract extension. Ed Policy was here on Cheesehead TV talking about how he has complete faith in LaFleur and how it was not just a bridge contract. He has committed to Matt LaFleur. So, you know, I'm thinking about that. And then I was thinking about where the program has been as far as the youth and the repeated phrasing of the youngest team in the league that we heard repeatedly for years and years. And as it stands right now, and I think probably will be maintained heading into the regular season, Packers stand to or look to be out of contention for that title. Now, things can change. We'll see what happens after cuts, etc. But Packers won't be the youngest team in the league, most likely. But they will be young still, but a ton of youth that has a ton of experience playing together. I don't think that can be overstated, the importance of that. And sure, there are still going to be mistakes. It can never be a perfect game, right? But the idea that this core that we've talked about quite a bit has now been augmented by several aging veterans, guys who have been in the league a long time, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, know what the hell they're doing on a football field, to go along with a very talented young core group of players who now should be all about that business, right? Obviously, second-year players like Matthew Golden, Anthony Belton, etc., they have, you know, had that on-the-job training last year as rookies, and they should be able to step up their game in 2026 and help take, again, the program, this iteration, let's say phase three of LaFleur's tenure, into a spot where you're not making the same mistakes week after week that we've seen these younger teams make, right? Whether it's the false starts, the holding, the penalties on special teams, things of that nature. Hopefully, and I'm not saying it's all going to disappear magically, of course not, but absolutely think this is going to be a team that looks quite different as far as their maturity, their football IQ, having played together so much, knowing where their teammate is going to be at all times, how they react, what to expect. I do think that's going to be a noticeable difference here in 2026. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be young mistakes. Soder helpfully pointing out prior to me going live here that the kicker situation could still be a bit of an adventure. But, you know, Soder, that's why they're just going to go for two after every touchdown and why they're going to go for it on fourth down almost all the time. Just to limit the amount of kicks that the kid is asked to make. And who knows, maybe he doesn't even get out of camp. That's entirely possible. Haversick could win the job. I don't think he's going to, but it's a possibility. So we'll see how that transpires. But I am a bit over the moon about this idea of this young team, having been the youngest team in the league so many years in a row, finally taking a step out of that, out of the school, so to speak, and ready to do a real job, get a real gig, and go win the North to start. That's where I'm at. I know some folks have misgivings about some of that, but that is how I view the 2026 season, and I cannot wait to get there for training camp to start seeing it kick off. Hello to all of you in the comments section. So good to see you all mixing it up. Ben Rox here, of course. Jeff Jones, how are you? Dennis, always good to see you, Dennis. Jim is here. Awesome, guys. Thanks so much for stopping by. Before I get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at Ticket King. If you need Packers tickets, Ticket King has been based in Wisconsin since 1992. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use the company based right across from Lambeau Field. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the description of this video or at CheeseheadTV.com. Also, I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. Injuries happen, but ThetaCare walk-in orthopedic care helps you recover like a pro. Don't let pain sideline you. With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, expert care is ready now. No appointment needed, just walk in. Learn more at thetacare.org/ortho now. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Okay, you fine-looking folks, how we doing? How we living? E4, starting us off. Outstanding game last night. Oh, man. I almost lost my voice right after the first goal and then proceeded to continue to yell throughout the night. My girlfriend complained that I woke her up a couple times from the living room. The bedroom's in the back of the apartment, and I still apparently woke her and the cat up. So I'm going to have to try and keep it down tonight for the U.S. game. But, man, that match was awesome. You talk about drama. You talk about great run of play, great goals. I mean, had some controversy to throw in there as well. Man, that was a great, great match. No question about it. Andrew Ware, how are you, buddy? We don't stand a chance against Spain, sigh. Man, it took Spain 96 minutes to score one goal. Stop. Get on the front foot, put them behind a couple goals. I know they haven't conceded yet. Anything is possible, including beating Belgium, which we have to do first. So let's concentrate on that, all right? E4, thanks again, man. Majority of World Cup matches have been excellent. I hear there's another game tonight. Nice way to spend time before the pads come on. Yeah, I was talking to a couple people this weekend about the fact that the World Cup summers are the best summers because they do kind of bridge that gap. And seemingly, it makes it feel like the weight and the chasm of the weight for NFL football isn't quite as huge, right? And there are other kind of soccer tournaments that I enjoy, like the Euros and things like that, that also kind of fill that void, but there's nothing like the World Cup. Absolutely. Dennis. You guys are blowing up the kicker. Come on now. Packers have the best punter in the NFL. We certainly can have the best kicker sooner than later. Yes, that's smack talk. Dennis, getting behind the rookie. Hey, man, look, I understand. I said it, I think, weeks ago when they were in mini camp and everybody was talking about the misses in practice. We're talking about practice. It's a lab. I'm not concerned until I see it repeatedly in games where, you know, obviously every kick matters and you want them to make every single kick, but you know it's a process and they're working on lots of different stuff. So I got no issues with a kid working through whatever he's got to work through in practice. That's what practice is for. But I know in this day and age with the media kind of lens that we all view these things through, everything gets blown up and turned into some kind of huge story, controversy, problem, blah, blah, blah. I'm just not going to sweat it. until there's something to sweat. Let's say that. Complicated fella. I like it. Why didn't the president intervene for the Packers in the Seattle in the Fail Mary? It's an excellent question. Dereliction of duty, if you ask me. Jeff Jones, thanks so much for the super chat, man. Should we expect more interceptions slash fumbles this year? Remember the Ball King? Remember that whole kind of three-week window where that was very exciting? They were causing all those fumbles in practice. And then we got to the regular season, and I think they caused, like, where they forced, what, two? One of them was huge. That one in against the Eagles was big, Cooper and Hurts. But I certainly hope so. You know, Ball King left with Halfley down there to Miami. But I think the interception kind of tally rising in 2026 is likely. I do think hopefully they get their hands on a few more of these footballs being thrown in their area, breaking on the ball a little bit more. Fumbles, I know back in the day, Football Outsiders did a lot of work on this, you know, trying to quantify fumble luck, as it were. Because remember, they have a number of times where they do kind of cause a fumble, but the opponent gets it back or it goes out of bounds. So we tend to forget those, but they are somewhat, you know, not completely due to luck, but luck plays a role as far as, especially when it comes to who recovers it. So hopefully attacking the football, but just because you emphasize it, right? We saw this with the Packers last year. You can emphasize it all summer. You can practice it all summer. You can think, yeah, we're ready to cause all these fumbles, and then you cause precious few fumbles. And, you know, the offense gets paid too, and they're doing a lot of work as far as ball security and things like that. So, but interceptions, 100% would expect more of them this year. And not necessarily from corners, though that would be nice. But I do think a big component here is just Xavier McKinney holding on to a few, right? I think Evan Williams will get his hands on a few. And hopefully we get these linebackers involved a little bit, especially Cooper. I think he can really make hay in coverage and hopefully use his athleticism to get in front of a few of these crossing routes, etc. But, you know, we'll see what Gannon and company can cook up, as it were. Soder. That guy throwing the old football in the Theta Care ad might have the worst form I have ever seen. I don't know, man. You didn't see me throw the football back to Aaron Rodgers from the sideline at training camp about 5-6 years ago. It was one of those things where the ball like kind of rolled over to the sideline and I picked it up and I had all these visions of glory. I think if Big B's here, he can tell you he was there that day. I think he saw it from the stands. And Aaron was like about, I want to say like 40 yards away from me. And I had, you know, I'm a high school football quarterback. I can throw a football, although I hadn't thrown a football in probably 20 years. And it showed. I reared back and I threw that thing. And I think it landed a good 10 yards in front of Aaron Rodgers. It was so bad. It was tough. It was a tough look. Let's say that. Cheeto, how you doing, buddy? I never got into soccer until my boys started playing and I coached the peewee team. Now watching people of the world enjoy ranch dressing has me believing that sports can heal the world. Go sports. I love that. That's such a great, that's a trip we took in that super chat. And yeah, you're not wrong. You know, I think we joked about this earlier on Daily here a couple weeks ago, you know, the fact that especially when you see all the different cultures and all the different fandoms from around the world coming to the United States and just having a ball, you know, someone made the observation. It's like, you know, we're kids whose parents don't like each other, but we get along every time we get together. Right. It is pretty great to watch how that transcends pretty much everything. Right. Absolutely love it. Lucy, thanks so much for watching the stream on Twitch. Anyone watching the World Cup? Everybody's watching the World Cup. I don't know about everybody, but I know I am. And it's great. I've seen quite a few people this year who had not ever watched a World Cup kind of jumping in this year. And I'm telling you, this was a good one to jump in on because this is, I don't know if it's the greatest. I don't know if it's the best, but it is probably the most entertaining and the most fun World Cup I've watched in my life. You know, and we've got a ways to go yet, but man, it has absolutely delivered. No question about that. Danny, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you, man. The fact that we haven't heard new info on number 8 tells me this thing is going to die without formal charges. Just got to worry about the league now. I pretty much agree, Dan. We talked about this last week. I would suspect that that is the case, but never really sure, right? We'll see what happens over the course of this next month or so. But I tend to agree. I do think the league will most likely decline any punishment, but man, every time you try, you think you've got the NFL figured out. They zig when you thought they would zag. And we know, we just have Donald Trump call Roger Goodell and we'll get him out of it. It's all good. That's the way this works now, right? Andrew, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Thank you, man. The Ball King was kind of balls. I'll see myself out. And we are beating Belgium. Come on, man. Golden year loading. Market 8, dude. Go, Pack, go. One game at a time. That's all I'm saying, man. All I am saying. Just can't take anything for granted, you know? You're worried about Spain. I ain't worried about Spain. I'm worried about Belgium. Soder. But was that throw on target? It was on a laser line. It would, if I had given it a little bit more push, it would have gotten, you know, it was perfectly straight. Just didn't quite reach far enough to hit Aaron. Oh, man. Oh, Joe. Yeah. Has anyone done a welfare check on Justice Mosqueda? I was messaging with him last night. I told him I loved him on Twitter last night after the game. And then we were messaging privately for a little bit. Yeah, it's a tough one. That's a tough one to watch your team lose. No doubt about it. But as a Packers fan, you're calloused. You know, I mean, I get it's even worse because it's every 4 years. But man, if you're a Packers fan, this is almost a yearly occurrence, right? There's some dramatic, horrible, tear your heart out loss in the playoffs. If you are a Packers fan, that, you know, pretty much girds you for these types of outcomes, those types of games, that kind of a loss, you know. It's all good. Yeah, complicated. Talked about this last week. That soccer field in New York, grass field, is beautiful. Too bad the football players can't play on it. Man, I want George Kittle to keep making noise about this. They absolutely should hold the league to account, the owners to account. Even if they know it's inevitable that the switchover is going to happen, man, they should be talking about that stuff every day. Every day they can. Just make it a headline every day. That's what I would be doing anyway. Joe, I hope the world takes all that ranch dressing home with them. Look, this ranch aggression will not stand, sir. Absolutely not. Complicated. You're probably not wrong. All quiet on the Tucker extension. That means it must almost be done. Well, I'll tell you, when you listen to Tucker Kraft's availability during minicamp, I mean, he all but, I want to say confirms, but he certainly kind of lets you know that, yeah, it's going to happen. It's just a question of details, making it official, etc., which I'm sure, you know, Russ Ball and company are probably back at it this week after most folks take last week, or the weekend at least, off. I'm sure this is the week where things will kind of pick up again as far as going through the minutia and the details. So, yeah, hopefully we get to camp and that's the announcement right before, say, you know, the day before the morning of the shareholders meeting on the 27th. Hopefully we get that news, get that announcement and kick off camp with really great news like that. Soder, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member, man. The overhaul of the defensive coaching staff isn't getting enough run. If that side of the ball is ever going to get a culture change, this is the year. Well, especially, and this is something we've talked about a bit, the idea that so many of these guys have been coordinators, right? And able to bring in, hopefully, some fresh ideas to marry and enhance with what Gannon has run and wants to run schematically. But I'm very much with you as far as what does it look like? What's the play style? That's what, you know, we hear from LaFleur all the time. And yeah, if we're talking about the physicality, the tackling, the physical side of, you know, playing defense, here's hoping, yeah, that this new set of voices and the new approaches and hopefully some kind of idea of, okay, this is not acceptable anymore as far as the missed tackles, you know, some of the softness that we've seen throughout the years when it comes to the Packers defense. Here's hoping. But we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago regarding Matt LaFleur being the one who sets how he wants it to look. It doesn't matter really if it's cover four, cover three, the idea, cover two, but the idea with LaFleur has been throughout his 7 years in Green Bay, we're going to play some kind of, you know, over the top cloud, put a lid on it and keep it all in front of us and make them earn it every single drive, right? No matter if we're losing or we're winning or what have you, that is how their approach has been. And look, that's not unlike a lot of teams in the NFL, but it certainly put them in positions where, okay, that's great, but then you've got to rally and tackle, and you've got to make sure you're not getting dragged 3-4 yards, because then a 1 or 2 yard gain turns into a 5 or 6 yard gain, and now they're ahead of the sticks instead of behind it. There is no greater example of this issue than in the Dallas game last year. You guys remember, Dallas was so content to dink and dunk, get the ball out of Dak Prescott's hands quickly. Every once in a while, if someone came up, you know, one of the DBs came up to the line of scrimmage, they would convert and go to a some kind of fly route, you know, some nine or something, and Dak hit a few of those. But otherwise, yeah, they were totally content to dart into the flat, quick hitch, whatever. And they continually, they being the Packers defense, continually either straight up missed the tackle or made contact after the catch only to allow 2, 3, even 4, 5 yards after contact. Those are hidden yards that really, really help the offense as far as staying ahead of the sticks, especially if they're patient and doing what the Cowboys were doing, which somewhat set the template for teams to follow for the rest of the season. You remember, you know, it's tough to think about, but that was certainly an issue. And to your point, Soder, hopefully new voices, new ideas in the room on the defensive side of the ball, hopefully that corrects some of that. Rick, Trump killed the USFL. I'm still mad. Right. And didn't he win like a dollar in the judgment? Something like legit $1, if I remember right. Heady days, man. Heady days. Pimo, how you doing, man? The two games since Paraguay-France disaster have been great. Bellingham definitely carried the G with not just goals. That defensive effort slash clear was the effort we can only hope Packers get on our defense. Dude, you are so spot on about both Bellingham and Kane working back and playing, like just rooting in and playing defense, helping, being back there to defend, especially obviously after they went down to 10 men. But even before that, Kane works, well, his work rate's insane, right? And you're not wrong as far as all 11. Each and every down. We saw it early last year from the Packers. Those first two games, we all thought this is the swarming, attacking Packers defense we've been waiting for so long. And then, like I said, teams started changing their approach, and Packers really never really adjusted, which is disheartening to say the least. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.